Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to episode 407 on the Get Merry podcast. And we're so excited to be here with you today. We posted a Q&A thread in our teacher training community because we are currently at week 5 of our yoga teacher training cohort for 2024, which is super exciting. And we got such a beautiful question from one of our trainees, Sharon. And I'm actually so excited to dive deep into this question because it's more about the creative process of everything we go through each and every time. And let me just put my phone on Do Not Disturb because otherwise I'm just going to get all these buzzers. Everything we go through when we are creating Merry Body classes. And just to give you an idea, there are over 600 Merry Body classes, meditations, challenges, and masterclasses inside our app. Not one of them is the same. Not one of them is titled the same, which I think blows my mind, actually, that we haven't accidentally done that. Almost. And Sharon's question was, let me just read it out because Sharon has a way with words.
She certainly does.
And hi, Emma. I just talk. Okay.
Hi, guys.
It's the Carla Show. Okay. Sharon says, I've always had a deep appreciation for the various class designs and variety of classes inside Merry Body. But now that I'm learning more about all of the thought, intention, and of course, mindfulness of safety and options that goes into class designs, I would love to hear more about the inspiration and decisions that go into creating such a steady volume and variety of beautiful classes and meditations. And, you know, it's really, firstly, like, thanks for noticing, Sharon. Thanks for acknowledging that, because it is a process and it is something that we put a lot of time, effort, and energy into. It hasn't always been that way, and we'll go back to how we used to do it. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. But now it is such a big part of what we do and such a fun part of our business. Like, I really enjoy this part of our business and gets me very excited. But yeah, this isn't always how we used to do it. Hey, should we explain how we used to come up with our classes? Or should we do that?
We can begin there because I feel like we can then show how far we've come. And, you know, then you can, if you are creating classes or if you're just beginning to think about your own classes and you're like, oh my gosh, it feels so difficult, we don't want you to compare what we do to what you're in right now, because remember, we began however many years ago.
We began in 2017.
It's taken time.
Designing classes announced 2024. So that's 7 years.
So I want to say, okay, let's go back to like when we first started doing the Merry Body app, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is that where we begin?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to begin. I mean, we can start with like when we used to just teach only in real life, in person classes.
True.
And how we, I guess, used to come up with those. But I guess it's probably the same thing because it would be pretty, I guess, spur of the moment.
Yeah. So like if I was teaching in person, I was not super organized at all. I think for the first few weeks, maybe I wrote down my class from the start to finish, and then I just began to realize that I wasn't following it. So then I just began to wing it straight away from the get-go. And I, you know, this is not for everyone. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's for the people who have practiced a lot, I think. If you are one of those people,
it's the people who live on the edge.
Yeah, the people who live on the edge. It's also the people who don't mind when they're up the front in front of a class of 30 and then they say, oh, I forgot what's next, you know, or they look to their sister and think, oh my gosh, I forgot what was on this side. What did I just do, Carla? And, you know, so you have like your what's the partner in crime ready to help you, to assist you. Yes, that was how I ran my classes for some time. And you know what? Like, everyone still had an amazing workout. They also had a side of comedy. So I feel like it was really enjoyable.
Well, I do think that that was always your it is part of your uniqueness and your teaching
my
style
charm.
That you add the humor, that sometimes we're laughing at you, sometimes we're laughing with you, which is great.
Story of my life, really.
I was always like, when I started teaching yoga, I always loved the theming. Like, it was always something that I was really drawn toward, because it really helped me come up with the classes. Otherwise, I would just kind of like draw a blank and I'd be like, what am I going to do? I always wanted to bring more intention into the yoga. And, you know, I will say this comes easier to a yoga class because of the philosophy that's involved with yoga.
Right.
Than a Pilates class. Now that we do yoga and Pilates, we absolutely bring the intention and the focus in our Pilates classes as well, whether that's a body focus or whether that's a mindset intention. But I think initially it was easier to do that with yoga because there was already an abundance of mindset and philosophy in that practice. So, you know, asana, the posture, is only such a small amount. So there was so much to kind of bring into a class. But I was the same. I would come up with a class probably like the morning of, and I would write it down. And a lot of the time I would just not follow that whatsoever. And I would go off and do my own thing. Or sometimes I would be surprised and actually follow things and be like, wow. But this is kind of how we initially started doing Mary Body App as well. We might be filming tomorrow. And so the day before, we're sitting down and we're like, okay, we've got four classes to film tomorrow. This would range. We'd do four, we'd do eight, we'd do six. We kind of fell back on four for a long time. It looks a little bit different now, and we'll talk about that soon. Four was a good number, I think, for us in the earlier days. It felt like a good amount to get done, and it felt possible. Because remembering four classes can be hard on the mind, and doing them one after the other can be hard on the mind. It's not easy. But what we would do is we would get together the day before and we would think about, okay, what do we want to do in these classes? And we kind of just like mesh them together, and then we'd come up with a name that kind of made sense for the moves that we're doing in the class or the intention that we're doing in the class. And then, okay, great, we're done for another month. And then what would happen is later on down the track, we would have these themes inside Mary Body, and we'd come up with themes like after we'd done the classes.
And then they're monthly themes.
Monthly themes. Sorry, yes, monthly themes. And we just hope that the classes kind of fitted in, or they wouldn't, and they weren't really connected whatsoever. It was just like we just chose a theme and we're like, yeah, that will do. Okay, let's fast forward, because this is not how we do it anymore. Now it is very much more intentional and focused. And now we actually begin with the theme. And this makes the theme a really central part of Mary Body. And this, I think, is something that really helps us come up with different classes each and every time we're filming, because it allows us to be more creative and think outside of the box. So
yes,
our process now is we film 10 classes in one session. So we start the day at about 8:30 when we get mic'd up, and we finish the day at about 3. And so within 8:30 till 3, we film 10 classes. This is usually 2 yin, 2 yoga, 2 fusion, 2 bar, 2 Pilates. This gets us prepared for 10 weeks of Mary Body content. So as you can see, in 10 weeks, within that, there's actually 3 themes that are usually falling into one day of filming. So we're not just thinking of one theme anymore. Now we're like forward thinking to like a theme that's 6 months ahead or 7 months ahead. So this is where we have a very great spreadsheet called our weekly class plan. And within this spreadsheet, I list every theme for the month. So Emma and I will come up with themes well before the month actually begins. We come up with the themes. I mean, we at the moment, because I'm pregnant, we're like super organized. Let me just tell you. We have themes. I'm not giving any themes away. Because that is exciting. We have themes up until March 2025 worked out.
My gosh.
And once again, not once since the beginning of the Merrybody app, which the first monthly theme was April 2019. We've never had the same theme.
Not even self-accept.
I was just about to say, unless.
Or well, I'm amazing.
Unless it's January and we're doing the I'm amazing theme.
Loser. Just couldn't wait, could I? I was so excited. I just want to say a round of applause to you, Carla, for coming up with this system, because it was broken at the beginning. It didn't work. We made it harder for ourselves. And I mean, the thing is, you have to move through a process to get to the, you know, you have to start somewhere and then you make it better if you want to.
Mm.
So, you know, we started at a great place, at the perfect place, and then we improved on it, because as we kept on producing classes and as we decided, let's do the themes, we began to realize, hey, this is pretty dysfunctional and we are not making it easy for ourselves. And I think as well, because we obviously have been in business for so long, you know, we were already doing systems and things with other things, like making processes. And we then were kind of like, hey, let's actually systemize this.
Mm.
And I think this was where, you know, systems, which are very controlled and organized, they actually help you with your creativity. So sometimes it's good to have some parameters on your creativity and some order to your creativity, because it actually welcomes more space and more ease for the creativity to just flow. Because I don't know, like sometimes when you're just like, okay, what is my theme? What am I going to teach on this class? I don't know. What do I feel like working on? My booty? Let's do this and then this and then this. But then now let's shift it to, all right, this theme is bloom. We've already done this theme. I'm not giving any new themes away. It's bloom. All right. So I've got a bar class. What am I going to call my bloom themed bar class? And what am I going to do in this class?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you think about blooming, it's like openness and it's like growth. So you imagine, like, what are the movements for bar that kind of evoke these feelings of blooming? Mm-hmm. So it's really fun. And I think that's, you know, it also infiltrated more joy to the process of creating classes and filming classes and then publishing them.
Yeah.
So it's this big thing that I guess, you know, this is what yoga, if you're doing your teacher training with us, like this is what it's all about. It's about doing something you love, like diving deeper into it. And even into those aspects of, you know, it's not just the movement, it's the design, it's the messages intertwined and infiltrated in your class. It's all of it, isn't it? And it's so fun and creative. And this really is our kind of a platform, I guess, or vessel for our creativity, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if you can hear Tino bark. Zoom does usually a pretty good job at blocking it out.
I just said tiny Tino bark, that's all.
Tiny Tino bark. Tino, be quiet, please. So when I did have a thought as well. With the theme, it also made the theme more meaningful, because sometimes, like, and it put more focus to the theme for our members, because a lot of the time the theme would kind of just like, we'd welcome it in on the first week and we'd be like, yeah, so like just like focus on it and see what happens and go for it. And like the meditation would often be themed to the theme. And that was the one kind of way that we would welcome it in. But the classes weren't really linked at all. It was more just ad hoc. And it was more just like, I guess, a fluke if it was kind of linked. Now, when we have our themes pre-decided and we come together at least 2 weeks before our film day now, we film every 4 weeks. So it's a bit of a four-week block. So we'll film and then our film team, our edit team has to edit them all. They send them back to us. We do final checks. They do final edits. We do final checks and then they get uploaded. And then it's kind of like by the time that's all done, it's 2 weeks until the next filming day. And so that has allowed us enough space to focus on previous filming day to now, okay, clean slate. Now we've got to come up with new classes again. So every 4 weeks we're coming up with new classes. So we've got the themes and we sit down and we look at, okay, well, if we're doing two fusions, two Pilates, two bar, two yin, two whatevers, where is that going to be placed on the weekly plan? Because it doesn't just go like Pilates, Pilates, yoga, yoga in Marybody. It's alternating. It changes. We look to the seasons as well. Like what's happening in the year? Like what day is like, is there a special day that's happening? Like, should we put a yin here? Because this is a more like restful period of time, or is this?
But
like
I would say that we don't actually look at the seasons too much though.
I was meaning more like what's happening in the world, like
no, but you know, the seasons is such a good theme for yoga classes, but we always kind of want to be like, oh, it's spring, let's do spring theme. But we are also conscious of the fact that the two hemispheres are different and we have international audience. So it's like sometimes we're like, oh, we really want to do spring on like the first day of spring. But however, we don't, because that would be the opposite.
Yeah. So what I was meaning was more like, okay, if it's Christmas time, and I know not everyone celebrates Christmas, but like, for example, December 25, our new class day fell on the 25th last year and we did Very Merry Fusion. And that made sense. It was on Christmas, made sense for that new class day, but also makes sense for our brand. So it could be utilized throughout the whole time. We didn't talk about Christmas in the class, but it was kind of like, you know, it was an underlining theme going on there. So that's what I mean with that.
Yeah. True.
And so then we look to, okay, we've placed whether it's going to be a fusion, whether it's going to be a bar, whether it's going to be a yoga in our weekly plan along with the theme. So, for example, it might just be like, if it was Bloom, let's use this example, Bloom bar, Bloom fusion, Bloom yoga, Bloom yin, and that's four because there's usually about 4 or 5 weeks in a month. Then we sit down and we think, okay, well, let's come up with some names that aren't all Bloom.
No.
You can't have Bloom four times. But let's come up with some names. Or perhaps you've got some ideas of movements that, as Emma was saying, create this feeling of Bloom or welcome in this intention of Bloom. So we work in both ways. Sometimes we come up with the name, but sometimes we come up with the move, and then the name comes from the movement.
Yeah. So I'll just say, like, on this theme of Bloom, like, I know we have Blooming Bar. We also have Nurture and Bloom Yin Yoga. And then we have Time to Blossom Meditation.
And we have Blossom Yoga too.
And Blossom Yoga. So, you know, like, all, and there would be more too, but that was just a little quick search of a very quick search. But yes, I think it's so enjoyable, this process now, isn't it, for us? And it's also fun to share this with all our members.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is really important to infuse that joy into the work you do, because it is experienced by it, like it's felt. It transcends to the student, to the other people who are doing your classes.
Exactly. So not only are we thinking, you know, intentional with the focus of each class, for example, with the theme. So we're also looking at all previous classes we've created before in Marybody. And we're looking at whether that was a beginner class, whether that was an intermediate class, whether that was a challenge class. And we're making sure that there's also a wide range of those levels as well. So not only are we looking at the theme, not only are we looking at the style of the movement, not only are we looking at the type of movement, we're also looking at what level, because what this will kind of identify the speed or the repetitions or how many of what we're doing. Are we doing full chaturangas? in this class? If so, it's definitely a challenge. Like, this is the kind of stuff we're looking at. Oh, look, hang on a minute. Last yoga class we did was a challenge. So let's actually mix it up. Let's bring a slow flow in and let's make this a little bit slower. So then we're looking at those elements, like levels, because we want to make sure that there's a wide range of new classes being added for everyone. And then we're also looking at what movements have we been doing lately. What was the last Pilates class? What was the 10 Pilates classes ago? Oh, we've done a lot of all fours. Okay, well, let's give all fours a rest. Let's bring in something we haven't done in a while. What haven't we done in a while? And then we'll look back at all the classes and then we'll kind of use that as well to make sure that we're using a diverse range of movement.
Yeah.
So as you can see, like, it's not just one thing we're thinking about. Like, we're thinking about many, many things all at once. And then it goes even further because you put variations on it and you put modifications on different moves, and suddenly all fours that we did last time is like a totally different experience because you've come up with this new variation. And I think this is where we should talk now. Like, how do we come up with the variations of the movements that are unique and creative to us? Like, sometimes we just come up with them, or where do we learn them from?
And, you know, this list is kind of endless, really. I mean, a lot of the time, Carla and I will practice together, or we'll practice separate, and then Carla will be like, oh, I tried this new move in Pilates. What do you think? And I'll be like, oh, that's great. I'm going to start doing that and I'm going to teach that, and vice versa. Like, we come up with moves for each other, and we also come up with moves together where we're practicing together, and we just kind of be like, oh, this feels cool. Or what about if we did this move with this move? So it's, once again, it's a really creative process, and you need to allow space for that. It's like, you need to dedicate time for that creativity. You need to dedicate time. Okay, I'm going to go on the mat today with the intention to come up with some new movements. And that means, you know, it's not just focused on your own workout. It's actually focused on doing, you know, creating, of coming up with new stuff, where you might stop and start, write things down, or you might do some research online to check in with alignment, or check in, is this pose like good for me? You know, sometimes you might be too creative and be like, oh no, that's not actually good for other people's bodies. So it's always important to check in. And then, of course, we get inspiration from others. So when we go to other people's yoga and Pilates classes, or when we do other people's online classes, we might do a move and be like, oh, that's so cool. Usually I will do a move that is someone else's and be like, that's so cool, but I'm going to change it to this. And not even for, like, you know, to make it my own, more like because other people kind of go the next level with a move where they might, I don't know, add some extra instability or make it more challenging. And then I'll always be like, you know, that's really fun and it's a great challenge. However, I feel like we can get a more effective movement, a safer movement, if we take it down a notch. And that's just kind of the Merry Body kind of philosophy, where we're not here to like push to the 100%. We're here to have the most safest and the most effective workout, where, you know, where other people might crunch, I might leave the head and shoulders down in an ab movement, where other people kind of are, you know, they're, say, again, ab movement, where they're resting on the elbows and that you're facing upwards, but, you know, you're putting all that pressure in the shoulders. I like doing that, but then I'm also like, yeah, but however, this can really cause some shoulder injuries. So we're always thinking about, you know, our own philosophy too, and our own workout ethos when we experience other people's classes. And we really highly recommend this for you to do the same as well, you know, to stay true to yourself and your beliefs around your exercise. Don't just take a move and be like, oh, this is the best because they said it is. And same with us, you know, when you hear us talk about it, you know, you might disagree, and that's okay. That's good, in fact.
Yeah, and then I think that there's the whole other element of Merry Body, which is like kind of a magical part of Merry Body, are our fusion classes, where, you know, we're actually coming up with classes together and they have to seamlessly intertwine or bounce off one another. You know, some of our fusion classes will go half-half Pilates yoga, half-half yoga Pilates. They're a lot more simple, I tell you what, for us to come up with, they're still very much linked. Like, for example, you'll always notice if we're doing a lot of booty work in the Pilates section, you're probably going to get a glute stretch in the yoga. It's going to be that beautiful balance, that beautiful kind of symmetry of the fire and then the bliss. That's kind of, I guess, what a fusion class is. Unless it's fire and fire because we've decided to do like a super hard flow with some super hard Pilates as well, which are equally fun. But often what we'll do is we'll actually jump from Pilates to yoga, back to Pilates, back to yoga, back to Pilates, back to yoga. So not only are we then thinking of our own personal teaching transitions of like moving from one move to the next. For example, if I was thinking of a normal transition in a yoga class, I would be thinking, how am I going to get from the top of my mat to my down dog in this class? That's a transition. Gets a little bit more intense when I'm thinking, okay, where do I end and where does Emma begin? And that's the fun part of fusions. Like, how can we seamlessly intertwine this movement so we're not just like awkwardly standing on the mat and being like, okay, like now it's Pilates. Like, that's not how we do fusions. Like, we'll finish in a chair pose and then it's like, then we're onto squats or something like that. And so that's where we look at fusion classes, we're very much thinking, where's the transition? How are we linking this? How is it going to create that perfect balance, that perfect class of both modalities, bringing in Pilates and yoga, sometimes even breath work and meditation? So they're really fun as well. So do you think we covered the creative process enough with in regard to the class design? Like, the class design is all about like, what is the intention of the class? Whether that is a theme, a mindset, a transformative change that we're looking to welcome in, or sometimes it can be a body focus, as in you want to do an arms class, Emmy, like this is going to be just arms. Sometimes for me, it can be, I want to do this certain pose. For example, I want there to be a bound warrior two in there because that informs me that I need to then design that class in a whole different way than I would if there was no bind. Yeah. So this is when we talk about like a whole other story of like preparatory poses.
And that's all inside the Merry Body teacher training, which, I mean, you know, that was so fun working on that and filming all those classes. And, you know, when you created that, the Merry Body treasure map, and yeah, that was really cool. And I'm excited for all our new teacher trainers, you know, to go through all those classes when it comes in. I don't know what week that comes in. I forget. Maybe you know.
I think week eight we begin Become the Teacher.
Okay. So yeah, so we have a few more weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're such fun classes to kind of unpack it all. And, you know, when you have a system or when you have a plan, it makes it way more doable, doesn't it? It's like, this is the whole thing, the systems, the plans, the organization. It creates the perfect environment for creativity to thrive when it comes to class design. And, you know, you'll have those moments where you just kind of get creative and download a class out of nowhere, and that's also great too. However, when you have like something like Merry Body where it's like, we bring a new class every single week and we've been doing that for however many years, you do need a system, because if we didn't have that system, then we might find ourselves having two similar classes because perhaps I always go back to my favorite moves of all fours or something like that, you know? Like you might just keep accidentally reverting back. And that's actually okay when you're teaching, you know, say once a week in person. Like you could literally do like a very similar class once a week to the same class and they would still really appreciate it. However, when you are doing an online thing like Merry Body, like you need that great variety because like people want it. You know, there's 600 plus classes in there. They don't want 500 exactly the same. They want all different.
Yeah, especially because we've got our weekly plan too. Because I feel like that, you know, that's so inspiring for us as creators. You know, we're always thinking, you know, we're always thinking about the new class, but then we're always thinking like how amazing that our members get to go back and experience classes that were filmed like, you know, 2-3 years ago or more now, and experience them in the weekly plan. So I guess that's the magical thing as well about online, is that all of our work, all of our creativity, all of this time and energy, it lives on. Whereas, you know, I love teaching in real life. Don't get me wrong. It was super fun. I get the same joy though from filming doing our big sessions and filming and being really intentional about these classes. And then, you know, when a member says to us, oh my gosh, I did this class and it's my new favorite and I favorited it, like that makes me so happy to hear that. But it is really cool the fact that all of this energy and intention lives on and gets to be experienced not just once, but again and again and again and again. It's pretty special.
Yeah. And it's so exciting. You know, the coolest thing is that, you know, every week we're excited to work on this.
Mm.
I mean, how many years we've been doing Merry Body for?
Since 2018.
Is that 6 years?
6 years.
Seven? Six? Seven? Nearly seven?
This will be our seventh year. We're in our seventh year.
So, like, that's cool. You know, we're still passionate about this, and I think we will be for much longer. I think if you have not tried a Merry Body class, today is the day. Sign up to a free Pilates class.
Yes.
Sign up to yoga too. Maybe we'll give you both. Let me double check what the link is. So, like, I don't want to give you a wrong link.
And we'll put it in the show notes as well. But the Pilates class, we actually just updated the free one that we provide. And we're going to make sure we do this a little bit more often. So, you know, so you get a little bit of a taste of lots of Merry Body, but it is a beautiful class, the free one that we've got available. It's called Daily Dose Pilates, and it's got all my favorite moves in it. And not only do you work your amazing body, but you really do feel those feel good hormones get released.
Yes. And the URL for that, the link for that is themerrymakersisters.com/online-pilates-classes, but we will have a link in the show notes too. And shall we give the yoga class as well? I think so.
Yeah, why not? I forget which.
Or is that confusing? Let's do the yoga. It is desk worker upper body, which is actually one of my favorite classes. I really love that class. Let me find the link. It is themerrymakersisters.com/online-yoga-class. So there's two URLs that probably have confused the hell out of you now, but remember the links are in the show notes, or just simply message us on Instagram or Facebook and say, hey, you talked about your free class in your podcast this week. Can you please send me the link? And we totally will ASAP. We will send you that class.
Well, the last thing I wanted to mention was our other spreadsheet. So
Carla loves spreadsheets. If you haven't noticed, so you've been listening a while, you know this.
So we have our weekly class plan where I'm planning out the classes along with the weekly class plan. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like I think I have up to September now planned of weekly class plans. We also have got our library content spreadsheet. This has every single class we've ever created before in Merry Body, along with the level, along with the time, along with the magic link. So I'm able to send the links directly to the class if you're on app, which is really, really cool. Thanks to Amazing Rose for doing that. Our amazing VA. We love you. But that spreadsheet also helps us make sure that we're not doubling up on names, on levels, and on times. So this is how we ensure there's that variety. And the only way you can do that is if you have something like this, like a spreadsheet or like a library where you can keep note of everything that you're creating. So as annoying as it sounds to make, I remember when I first made this, like it took a while to make this, but the more classes we were getting, the more confused we were getting. So we were like,
It's like if we just should have started with
spreadsheets. So my recommendation, like if you're just starting, like just begin a spreadsheet with one line, like one class, because then you just build from there. Instead, like we had to go back and build the spreadsheet from all the classes that we'd done previously. So that's a hot tip for you.
That's a really good tip.
Start earlier with the spreadsheets.
Yes, and with the organization and with the systems. Even when you feel like you don't need them, just in case, because, you know, potentially in a few months or maybe a year, you will need them.
Yeah, and I think also providing that, like making a system, making a process makes it important. And this like, again, brings your, like, you know, what you focus on grows. Like if you want this to grow and you're making it an important part of your journey to becoming a yoga teacher or a Pilates teacher, it's just going to then become more and more important, which means it's just going to grow. So the time you spend on this is not time wasted. Like I just want to underline that, because sometimes I think we can think, oh, just, this is a waste of time. Like just do it, just like wing it or whatever. But actually no, like this creation, the time that you spend, the energy that you put into it, it all comes, it all shines through. And I know that is true because of the feedback that we get. Like the energy exchange is real, even when it's recorded.
But I mean, we can all experience this in so many aspects of life, can't we? Like, you know, when something has more thought into it, like whether you're, I don't know, going to a furniture shop or whether you're,
yes,
whatever it is, you can
going to an
it.
Event, like a going
to an event. Yes,
a
that's a
dinner
better
party
example.
Or, yes, I don't know, a birthday party or something,
a wedding,
a wedding. Like, yes,
you know when things are more thought out and organized and they link together with intention, like you can feel all this. And I mean, you know, maybe we're speaking for ourselves and probably not everyone takes notice of these things, but we are those people who take notice of the little things and also the big things. And we appreciate, you know, that extra detail. We appreciate that extra moment of care.
And oh my god, I love it. I think it's like magic to me. It's like a sprinkle of magic where you think, oh, like you thought of that, like, and that made a difference.
Yeah, and it's, I, once again, I'll go back to that. It also is and can be like a really fun thing to do. It's fun and creative, and it creates like another level of care. And I think in a world where like so many people want to do the fast route, they want it faster, they want it now, they care less about the finished product. Like, you know, just look at like, I don't know, architecture. Like,
look at the furniture I bought.
Yeah, oh my God, Carla just built, she didn't build it, she bought it. What did you buy?
If I built it, it would probably be great. I don't even know how to make furniture.
Go to a course.
I'm sure I could Google it. I bought a table and I bought two bedside tables and like these, this is not like from, I won't drop any names. I would, but I'm not going to. I bought them. These are not cheap. The table was $1,800 and it was on sale for $1,299. I think that's an expensive table. Like, I don't know, maybe like,
I would say for many people, you know, for many people that will be expensive, but for many people it would be cheap because we all have different levels of value and things. But
for
I feel it's an expensive table. Well, regardless of what it is, expensive or cheap, I think it's still an amount of money that you should expect to have a functional table.
Yes, exactly. So today I got the third delivery of the table that. So we got one delivery. It wasn't right. It wasn't level because it's like an extendable table. And it was like, so when you put a glass on where it extends, it wobbles. Like that's impossible to have people over then. The second one, the extendable function was completely broken. Like you couldn't even extend it. And now the third one's arrived and it's still not level.
My gosh. But you're like, I'll just deal with it.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but
we'll wait for Joel to come home.
Yeah. There is this level of like, where is the care? Like, where is the care in this? And it feels like there was none. And this is why we're saying putting in this extra energy, this extra effort, it is worth it.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's like, don't look at the other examples around you and use it as an excuse to not care. Mm-hmm. Like, this is when we should be like, okay, that's how I'm going to differentiate. Mm-hmm. I'm going to care more. I'm going to go back to, you know, what they were doing whenever back in the day and, you know, get back to that kind of energy of I'm building things to last. And really, that's our kind of mentality with business. I'm sure we've talked about it before, but we heard this really cool thing in the Jewel book, whatever her book is called. God, it was a good book. Something about
on
hands.
Unbroken?
Oh, Unbroken. Nothing about hands. That's her song.
I think it was Unbroken.
Yeah, you're right. It's not about hands. That's her very famous song about her hands.
I love that song.
Me too. But she talks about this thing, how, like, you know, she was creating or building or something, you know, built like hardwood, not flimsy wood.
What? Yeah, not like plywood.
Not plywood, you know, like build something like hardwood. And how long does a tree, you know, like to get hardwood, it's a long time. It's like slow growth. It's not that fast growth that's weak. It's slower and more care and more energy. You might not get your results so fast, but it will eventually last longer. And I really believe in this kind of energy, and I know Carla does too. And I think as well, in a world where everyone wants it done faster and quicker and no one's patient to, you know, to follow through, we want that instant gratification.
Mm.
If you can have this patience and if you can be okay with it and sit with it, I think, you know, you're setting yourself up for some great, amazing, fulfilling work.
Yeah, and I think you're setting yourself up for fulfillment and success. And although you might struggle with the time that it takes, that's all part of the journey. Like, I'm not saying that I don't get impatient and I don't get, you know, like I don't get attached to the fruits of my actions, but that's a forever practice and a forever journey. Like, that's a forever thing that will always be there. And it's a forever letting go and realizing, no, you just show up and you do the work and you keep going and you persist. And the thing is, it's like you get to the end of the journey and then what anyway? Like, you get to the result and then what? So the journey from A to B is the life itself. And often we forget that.
Yeah, it's like that is the fruits. Mm-hmm. That is the magic.
Mm-hmm.
And even through the struggles, it is the magic. Sometimes harder to see than other days, you know. Some days are going to be hard and then some days are going to be easy. Mm-hmm. But if you have like these, you know, really deep-seated beliefs or like, you know, you have these kind of really solid foundations and values, it helps you get through those hard days and, you know, it creates even more kind of, you feel proud of your work and you feel like you're making a positive impact.
Yep. It's true.
It's true.
Thank you, Sharon, for the question regarding Merry Body classes and our process. If you've got more questions about this, let us know. This really is something we dive into in our yoga teacher training. And like, it wasn't even meant to, like, this episode wasn't really even meant to talk about that, but we absolutely dive into this in the classes, class design, preparatory workshop, preparatory class workshop. That's not what it's called. Preparatory pose workshop. When we're thinking of like our regression and progression pose workshops, all of these, it's all intertwined. So if any of our trainees are listening, get excited for those because they're coming soon. And if you're interested in learning more about our yoga teacher training, it's all online. So I'm going to pop a link also in the show notes to the wait list to our teach training. The next cohort will be in 2025. But if you've got questions in the meantime, reach out and we are happy to help. Otherwise, we'll be back in your ears with a brand new episode next week on the Get Married Podcast.
the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.